Turn to Isaiah 66. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of Isaiah. Now remember, there's no midweek service coming up this week, and Don Fortner will be with us Friday at 7, Saturday 7, and Sunday morning. Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. And you think that would get our attention. He's going to describe the man, the person, man or woman, that he looks to, gives attention to. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, that's poor in spirit, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. All right, Doug's going to lead us in singing.
Take your hymnals and turn to page 10. Page 10. O God, our help in ages past. Let's stand as we sing. Turn to page 318. Page 318. I need thee every hour. Voice like
Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Title of the message, Christ, My Greatest Need. What is your greatest need? I look at all of you sitting here, and all of us have different needs. But there's one need that's greater than all. I have one need that nothing can compare to, and that need is the Lord Jesus Christ. I need thee. We just sang it. I need thee every hour. I need thee every moment. You know, I cannot even take my next breath without him. Can't do it. Now, our Lord, let's look at this. This leper. And keep in mind that leprosy in the scriptures was a type of sin. And this is how every sinner comes to Christ spiritually. We come like this leper. We have the leprosy of sin. It's written over in Luke that he was, this is recorded three times, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it says that this man was full of leprosy from head to toe. There was no place on his body that was not leprosy. Now, we have never, I don't believe, probably not anyone here, you might have, has seen the full effect of leprosy. It's a putrefying sight. Now, our Lord has spoken the truth on the Sermon on the Mount. And he spoke it with authority. But now he's going to demonstrate his power to heal, to save with authority. Nobody else could do anything for this man. It was a hopeless, absolutely hopeless situation. Remember that the miracles that our Lord performed, they were proofs of his deity, that he's God. But they were also examples to us of spiritual healing, which is what I need the most. Christ said in one place, it's better to enter into the kingdom of God halt or maimed, crippled, than to be made whole and go straight to hell. My greatest need is for Christ to heal me spiritually, to make me one again with God, to deal with this sin issue that I was born with. I was born with it. I did not become a sinner at a certain age. I was born one. I was born one. Now our Lord comes down from the mount after preaching. After preaching the gospel of grace. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Pray for them. Go the second mile. After preaching the gospel of grace, he now performs the work of grace on an outcast. An outcast. It says in verse 2, behold. Give attention to this. This leper is not supposed to be here. This leper is supposed to be separated from everybody. This leper is not supposed to approach him. You know that even the shadow of a leper was not allowed to be cast upon anyone, or they would be unclean. That's why he's saying here, that's why the writer of Matthew is saying, behold, this is amazing. This is amazing. Be astonished, but also be encouraged at this. A leper came to Christ, an outcast, a diseased man, a lonely man. Lonely man. Let me read something to you out of Numbers. I marked it this morning. Let me find it here. In Numbers 5, let me read 1 through 4 to you. Listen to this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and every one that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female, shall you put out without the camp. Put them out of town. They had what they called a leper colony. Put them out, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and put them out without the camp, as the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. They had to dwell without the camp. They had a lonely life. They were an outcast. The law, even the law, was against them. The law pronounced them unclean, just as it pronounces me unclean by nature. Pronounce them unclean. And here is a hopeless, helpless man with a disease that there was no cure for. There was no doctor in town that could do anything for this man. Like the woman with the issue of blood. She had tried all the physicians, and it says, and was none the better, but rather grew worse. It says she spent all her living trying to find a cure, and there was not any. Not any. We can find cures, and we have, for certain diseases. But you know, there's never been one for sin. There's never been a cure for sin that we have come up with. You can't. It's a nature. It's a nature. It's not a disease, it's a nature. It's a principle of life in me. But here's a man whom no one wanted to be with. Put yourself in this man's place. No one would touch this man. They were afraid of being made unclean, declared unclean by the law. I cannot imagine what it would be like not to be able to feel or to touch another human being. I talked to a man some time ago that had been in jail for a while. And he told me, he said, the one thing I missed was the touch of another person. He said, I never realized that. He said, that's the one thing I missed. This man could not hug his children, if he had any, his wife, parents, He couldn't touch them. He couldn't come close to them. He had to stand as an outcast. He had to stand at a distance. He had to always live among the unclean. That was his lot. Always having to live among the dead. You can't imagine the stench of that leper colony where he was made to live. Can't imagine. But he comes to our Lord. Oh, this man was stripped of all hope except one. The scripture says this. He is able, says in Hebrews, speaking of Christ, he is able to save unto the uttermost. I heard Henry say, unto the guttermost. He's able to save unto the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's able. There's one that is able to save. There's one that is able to cleanse. There's one that is able to present me before God spotless. Even though I was born with this leprosy of sin, and it permeates my whole being. There's nothing that I can do, ever have done, or ever will do that's not going to be touched by sin. But there is one that can save me. There's no case so hard that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot heal. His power is not limited. You're going to see this. It's not a matter of power. You know, whatever it is I'm going through, whatever it is God's putting you through, his ability to deliver is not a matter of his power. It's a matter of his will. It's a matter of his will. There's no stain so deep that he cannot wash it away. No stain. There's no sin that I have ever committed or ever will commit that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot completely wipe it away. In fact, if I'm his, they're all gone now. The sins, listen, the sins that I've not even committed are gone. You say, well, that give you a license to do what you want. I do what I want. Are you not doing what you want? It's very hypocritical if we're not. You know, the gospel sets a man free to live like he wants. It does. It allows you to live for the first time like you really want to live. And that's for Christ's sake. And that's after Christ. That's to follow after him. If I could, I'd live without sin. If I could, I would not sin again. But I have this confidence that through the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, my sins are gone. Brethren, they're gone. That's how I stand before God justified. There's nothing there to condemn me. This poor leper, he sought the Lord out. And I have no doubt that probably he was standing on the outskirts of that multitude that the Lord was speaking to on the Sermon of the Mount, and he heard him. He heard him speak. Maybe someone told him about him, but I just kind of feel like he heard him because he was there when he came down. He was waiting on him. He was waiting on it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That's why it's so important what we're doing this morning. When you hear God's word, when God takes his word and he speaks. And he speaks life. He commands life. He commands the hearing ear. He said, I give the hearing ear and the seeing eye. God said in Isaiah, I give that. That's of me. And it says there, In the verse, it says he worshipped him. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40, it says, kneeling down. You know, sometimes the position of the body does indicate the position of the heart. And in this case, it did. This man was broken. He was broken. Kneeling down, the leper knew his place before the Lord. He knew it was in the dust. He knew where he belonged. You know, that's one of the things that God must do in saving a sinner, is put him or her in their place. He must put us in our place. And then notice here, he acknowledged the Lord's sovereign right to heal him. He said in verse 2, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him." In Luke, it says he fell down before him. Mark, it says he kneeled. And here it just says he worshipped him. Worshipped him. Position of the heart. And look what he said. "Lord." He didn't come up to him and say, "Jesus." He didn't call him by that name. He called him Lord. He recognized his lordship. He recognized his sovereign right. And he recognized his position as the subject. He said, "Lord, if you will." You know, I don't want to make anything of my will. I've learned this. It's God's will or no will. It's God's will or no will. Call us a free moral agent. Where'd you get the moral part from? That don't fit. Where'd you get the agent part from? I wouldn't hire you as an agent. You wouldn't hire me as one. And we're sure not free. Don't pay your taxes. Just don't pay your taxes and see how free you are. We have some freedoms. But whom the Son sets free, he's free indeed. And you'll realize that when you die. When you die, you're going to realize completely what freedom really is. What it really is. And then he confessed his need of healing. He knew it was, listen, this man knew it was Christ or die. Mike, I have Mike Bartram sing a song. I've had him sing his song so many times. "Give me Christ or else I die." That's a beautiful song. He knew it. Everyone whom God saves, they know. It's either Christ or die. You know it. And he confessed it. And he worshipped him in his heart. This came from his heart. This man, from his heart he bowed to him. From his heart he said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." This leper had to be stripped of everything. God let this man, I have no doubt this, God let this man contract this leprosy to bring him to himself and to teach us a spiritual lesson. That this is us, by nature. He stripped him of everything but his need of Christ. Brethren, that's the best thing God could ever do for me and you. I don't care. It doesn't matter if he literally takes everything from us, like he did Job. At the end of that, Job said, "I abhor myself in sackcloth and ashes. By the hearing of the ear, I've heard of thee." Everybody sitting here, you've heard this time and time again, haven't you? But here's what you and I want. "But now, mine eye seeth thee." Now I see you. Most people do not need Jesus Christ. They just need some benefits. That's what they need. That's what a lot of these faith healers are all about. So-called faith healers. It's all about the benefits. It's nothing about the saving of the soul. It's nothing about being made one with God. It's about getting my leg fixed. I tell you what. If I had a broken leg and that's what bringing me to Christ, it'll let it be broken. Whatever it takes to bring you to Christ, let it happen. Because this life is so short. It's so short. Even at its longest. My dad is 86, and he told me here not too long ago, he said, talking about raising the kids when growing up on the farm and that, he said, "Son, it just seems like it's been a dream." He said, "It's just like it's been a dream. It's gone by that fast." The first thing the leper recognized was the sovereign right of our Lord to save him if he will. This is totally different than Jesus standing around wanting to save you if you let him, isn't it? This is totally different than him saying, "Won't you accept me as your personal Savior?" False religion has sold this world a bad bill of goods. They've got the Lord doing the begging instead of us. They've got him begging for sinners to come to him. He's not the beggar, I am. He's not the one in need, I am. He's the sovereign, not me. He's the sovereign. Look over in John chapter 5. This is where men, religious, lost people get mad. Is when you put the sovereign rights of God in the hands of Christ to do as he will, with whom he will, when he will. But this leper knew it, and every sinner whom God saves, he knows it. But listen here, let me find it. In verse 21, "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, gives them life, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Salvation begins when a person, a sinner, realizes that, listen now, he has no right to mercy. When I beg God for mercy, and I ask God for mercy every day, asking for mercy on my family, on my children, on you. But let me tell you something. I personally don't have any right to mercy. If I had a right to it, it wouldn't be mercy, it'd be a debt, wouldn't it? If God owed it to me, it's a debt. If it's mercy, it's unmerited favor. So I appeal to the unmerited favor of God on me. Save me, Lord, if you will. And you'll never find in the Word of God, he never ever turned down a sinner that ever came to him in need. Never. Now those who came and said, "Show us a sign," you're not going to get one. You're not going to get a sign. You won't get one from him. You might get one from Satan. But you won't get one from him. Because God never tries to prove who he is. Ever. He declares who he is. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm declaring who he is. I'm not trying to prove to anybody that God is. I'm not trying to prove what Jesus Christ did. I'm just a herald. I'm just proclaiming it. The work of salvation is in the hands of the Holy Spirit. It's in his hands. This leper threw himself at the mercy of the Lord. I suggest anybody here who needs saving, who needs mercy, throw yourself at the mercy of Christ. He's never turned anyone away that ever did. He threw himself at the Lord's mercy. He's the only one that can save from sin. Nobody else can do it. No priest, no ceremonies. You just go through all the hoopla you want to. You're still going to come out just as bad as you went in. But Christ can put it away. Christ can present me faultless before the Father's throne. He can do that. Christ is God incarnate. He's not a faith healer. He's God. And you're going to see when he saves, you're saved. You're saved. Now, why did he come to Christ? Why did this leper come to Christ? You know why? He believed. He believed he could do it. Christ said to that blind man, "You believe I'm able to do this?" Those two blind men. "You believe I'm able?" This leper believed without a doubt, with all his heart, that Christ could save him, could make him clean. That Christ could heal him. And that's when a sinner will come to Jesus Christ. That's when you and I will come to Christ, when we really believe he can do it and that he will do it. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, not half-heartedly, that diligently seek him. God saves sinners, not theologians. God's never saved a theologian. Everyone he's ever saved just been a dog of a sinner. Everyone. Now, what did our Lord do? If that leper walked in this door, and the sight of him, and the smell of him, I don't believe it'd be one of us would touch him. You know, when a leper walked down the street, it was like the parting of the Red Sea. People would just go like this. They wanted nothing to do with that. Nothing. But what did our Lord do? The law says, anyone that touches him or anything he touches is unclean. If he had walked up to a Pharisee, that Pharisee would have ran. It says here, he put forth his hand and touched him. Brethren, there's power in a touch from the crucified one. Power in a touch. The Lord's not afraid to touch sinners. I'm so glad that he was not afraid to reach down and pluck me out of the fire like a brand. That he was not afraid to call me his friend. The Pharisee said, "This man eateth with publicans and sinners." People like me and you. They charged him with that. The greatest charge ever. But they didn't mean it that way. He put forth his hand. That dying flesh, that stinking flesh. And he reached over and he just laid his hand on him and touched him. He loves sinners. I know who God loves. Sinners. I know who for whom Christ died. I know. Sinners. It says he died for the ungodly. He didn't die for good people because he said there's not any. That's what he said. I didn't write the Bible. You want to get mad at him, get mad at him. Like the children of Israel this morning wanting to shoot Moses. Moses is just a leader. He's just a messenger. That's all. I'm just a messenger. I'm telling you what he said. If anyone touched that leper, they were unclean, but our Lord feared not to touch him. You know, the scripture says he took our sicknesses and our infirmities. Our sins, multitude of sinners, no back of number, was laid on him. Everything, every rotten thing about me, all that I am, was laid on him. And he bore the punishment for it. He touched him. He never turned sinners away who need him. And notice here, he touched him, but at the same time he touched him, he spoke to him. If God ever speaks to us, you'll never be the same. I'm telling you, you'll never be the same if God ever speaks to you. And he said, I will. It's my will that you be clean. I will, be thou clean. The scripture says where the word of a king is, there's power. And when he said, I will, be thou clean, he was clean. He was clean. Power went forth with his spoken word to heal that leper. And that leper standing there in all his putrefying flesh became just as clean and just as pure and just as healthy as a newborn babe. Power went forth with his word to heal that leper. And that's what he says to everyone whom he saves. Be thou clean. And if he speaks the word of the gospel in power to us, we'll be clean. You'll be clean. And the result of him speaking and touching him, it says immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. It was gone. Can you imagine what that man standing there, ate up, full of leprosy, and then everything's normal. His flesh, his body, it's all made whole and clean. I mean, there's no way to express the joy of that man when that happened. It troubles me that I get so cold. How time and sin can make you so cold over what the Lord's done for you. That's astounding. That I stand before God clean. That all my sins are gone. And yet I could be so dull. It's amazing. Immediately departed from him. That's what it says in Luke 5. It departed from him. Christ didn't put him on probation. We are not put on probation. Salvation is immediate. And it's complete. Now, there is a sense. There's a sense in which I have been saved. I'm being saved. And I shall be saved. But as far as God's concerned, this matter's over. This matter's over. It's complete. There's nothing left to be done. Christ said, it's finished. It's finished. I'm not on probation. Christ saves immediately. He saves us immediately from sin. He was not only pronounced clean, but this man was made clean. That leper didn't ask to be pronounced clean. I don't want the Lord just to pronounce me clean, but to make me clean. Salvation is not Christ saying you're clean. It's Christ making you clean. Making you righteous. I'm not just pronounced righteous. We are made the righteousness of God in Him. And note what He tells him, and I'll wind this up. He said, tell no man. Don't go out and proclaim what just happened. Not right now. And the reason being is he made himself of no reputation. He wasn't trying to get a following. He came to die. Jesus Christ came into this world the first time not to try to get a huge crowd and a following and straighten everybody up. He came to die. He didn't come to live. He came to die. He came to put away sin. He came to give himself as a sacrifice for sin. That's why he came. He didn't try to get a following. He came to die. And then he says to him here, show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Why did he say that? Why did he tell him to go show yourself to the priest and offer a gift that Moses commanded? Well, first of all, the law was still in effect. He had not died yet. He hadn't died yet. The law was still in effect. Christ is not going to break the law. He always honored the law in every way. And show yourself to the priest. In the Old Testament, back in Leviticus, the priest would pronounce the leper clean only after examination. And he had to strip down. The leper had to take everything off and stand there stark naked in front of that priest. And that priest would examine him from head to toe. If there was a spot, I mean a spot of leprosy in him, he was still unclean. If there's a spot, I mean a spot, that you have to look at under a microscope of sin still on me, the law says, you're unclean. Doesn't that show you how effectual the work of Christ is? Doesn't that show you how effectual the cleansing of the blood is? There's not a spot or stain left. It's gone. It's gone. And nothing that Christ does in the saving of a sinner is contrary to the law. Brethren, listen. You who believe God, we have no fear. We have no fear of standing before God's law, not to find acceptance, but to be examined because of the work of Christ for me and in me. I have no fear of the law examining me. It can turn me around, look on me from head to toe. It's not going to find a spot. The scripture says you are complete in Him. You're completely healed. You're completely clean. You're completely accepted. You're complete. And then he told him to offer the gift. Now listen, not as a reason for the cleansing, not as a reason for it, but as a testimony. What's the gift that you and I offer this morning? Praise and thanksgiving. And that's it. It used to be blood. They used to offer the blood. But Christ came and He put that away. The gift that we offer this morning, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me read you this and I close. Christ is everything. He's everything to the believer. He's everything. He's not part of my life. He is my life. I don't have it. I read this the other day. Some years ago, two boats were passing each other on the Mississippi when an old gentleman said to a passenger, as he pointed to the other boat, "Look yonder. Look yonder's the captain." When asked for an explanation, he said, "Years ago, we were going along like this, and I fell overboard, and the captain rescued me. And since then, I just loves to point him out." I just loves to point him out. And I can say to you this morning, I hope I pointed him out. Because I just loves to point him out since he rescued my soul. All right, Doug, let's close with a song.